Have you ever wondered what it means to build with intention? Well, I'm Matt, and with my co-host Hamish, we are dedicated to pushing boundaries and building better homes. So we welcome you to join us on the Mindful Builder podcast, where we are committed to driving positive change in the building industry by surrounding you with experts in their field and being open about our lives as builders. So join us on this mindful journey of construction by subscribing to the Mindful Builder podcast. Please note that all advice provided here is general in nature and may not apply to every individual situation. It is important to consider your unique circumstances and consult with relevant professionals or experts for tailored guidance. Use this advice as a starting point for reflection and exploration, and always trust industry professionals when making decisions.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Mindful Builder podcast. This is quite an intimate one today. It's just got myself and Maddie just having a bit of a chinwag. How are you, Maddie?
Good, mate. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, mate. I'm actually pretty good, which is actually a really positive thing to say, because as we're going to dive deep in on this episode, that I've had some struggles this year.
Yeah. So today's episode might be a little bit confronting for some, but I feel it's an important one that needs to be told. Hamish is not only a builder, he's a dad, a husband, a son, and a friend, but he's also a storyteller who constantly advocates about the importance of mental health. He's part of the reason we started this podcast, and Hamish is open about his struggles with anxiety and does not hide it. I'm probably speaking on behalf of him, but in fact, he's probably proud of it. Today's episode is not an interview. It's a conversation that seeks to destigmatize, inspire, and offer a compassionate perspective on mental health. Hamish, it's probably fair to say that parts of the last few months have been a bit of a roller coaster. Can you start by just sort of sharing what's been happening?
Yep. Firstly, g'day, everybody. My name's Hamish, and I have an anxiety disorder. And I think pride may not be something that has always been how I would describe my feeling towards it. I think it's sort of wrapped up with a bit of shame as well, and probably that, you know, that feeling of not being in control, because anxiety, for those who have it, is it can take over your life when you kind of least expect it. For me this year, I think as a builder, there's been challenges, and generally challenges that I guess relish in or kind of inspire me or motivate me. But I did realize this year that I kind of felt my limit. And then that kind of self-talk and that self-doubt and those anxious feelings really started to creep in, I'd say around the middle of the year. And if I'm being honest, it's probably the worst that I've ever felt. And yeah, I was struggling really badly.
So what was there, a stress, a trigger, or like what was the sort of challenging time that created this sort of self-doubt and anxiety?
I think if I look back on, you know, the years, I guess when I first got diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, it would have been probably knocking on the door about 10 years ago. I was in a business partnership which ended. It ended, I think, in hindsight. Everything happens for a reason. I'm glad it did. But at the time, it was incredibly stressful. And it was at that point that I actually started seeing a psychologist. In fact, it's the same psychologist that I see today. So that's been, I guess, a staple in my management over the last 10 years is to see my psychologist, albeit up until about 2 or 3 months ago, I hadn't been seeing her regularly, which I think was a big part of me, I guess, losing control of my coping mechanisms. But like one of the biggest triggers for me is financial. So whenever I kind of see my bank account getting lower, or I feel like I've got a job that's going bad or anything like that, it does cause me anxiety. And maybe I'm in the wrong business if I don't want to see my bank account go from shitloads of money to nothing in a matter of a couple of days. Maybe I'm in the wrong business to not expect that, because that's just the reality of a building company. But yeah, for me this year, and I fully appreciate these are first world problems and potentially is a woe is me story, but we bought a new property this year in Warrandyte. It was basically the perfect property for us as a family, and also provided an opportunity for me to set up part of it to run Sanctum Homes out of and have like a bit of an HQ for everyone to come to. But it all happened incredibly quickly. It happened towards the end of June, which meant that we had to fast track our financials to see where everything was sitting. I remember we looked at it on a Saturday, and fast forward 8 days, the property was ours. It required a significant amount of money to put down as a deposit, which basically was, you know, everything that we had worked towards putting aside as our little bit of a safety blanket. And I really underestimated how much I kind of leaned in on or used that as a pillow to put my head on at night time when I went to sleep, knowing that I actually had some funds to draw on, and all of a sudden that wasn't there. I had 5 projects underway at the time, all at different stages, all probably in between progress claims as well. And all the builders out there listening knows what it's like when you get caught in between progress claims, where you've got to complete a certain amount of work on site to then get that next payment. It was just really tricky. And then on top of that, we had to then finish our current home to get it to a point where we could put it on the market. So we had 5 weeks to do that. And then we were also working. We had a deadline to hit before we went away on a holiday, which we already had that organized to go and visit my sister in Alice Springs. So there was just a lot going on. So not only were we managing 5 projects, not only did I have 2 kids, a young family, give my wife time to go and do her work and give her free time. All the stuff that we're doing with the Sustainable Builders Alliance, we were going through a rebrand and then a relaunch. There was just lots and lots of things going on. And I got to the point where I realized very, very quickly that I couldn't manage it myself. All the tools that I had at my disposal weren't working in terms of managing my anxiety. And I kind of got into a headspace where I couldn't see the positives in front of me, and I couldn't see the solution to the problems in front of me. And it actually took quite a heated conversation with my wife, and we never fight. And I remember there was some words that were said that just snapped me out of the cloud that I was in and made me realize that the way that I was projecting myself to the world was having a really severe impact on the people around me, not only to my wife, but also my kids and even my employees, particularly Dan, who works in pre-construction. I just wasn't my best self. And it was at that point that I booked in to see my psychologist again. And the actual process of going through and making the decision to call Lisa again and booking in to talk to her was almost as if this calm washed over me, knowing that I'd actually reached out and was going to get some help. Because I realized at that particular point in time that I did not have the tools to help myself through this. And I reckon I was definitely on the brink of not only having severe anxiety, but I was also at a point of becoming quite depressed.
And that's for you, for someone who's actually, at the start, I think you said 10 years, you've got some pretty good tools up your sleeve to deal with it. So how did you recognize it? Was it just that fight with your wife, or are there other things that sort of enabled you to sort of recognize that this is a tough period?
So maybe I'll just get a little bit of an explanation about how the brain works, and then it might sort of give it a bit more context. Off the back of a lot of this, I've done a whole bunch of screening tests for ADHD before, and I kind of have always been operating suspecting that I might have ADHD. It's always been undiagnosed, so it's not really something that I wanted to label myself with, but like classic traits of it being an incredible superpower or it being incredibly debilitating. So at any one time, I can have a number of things going through my brain. I can have a number of different projects going on at any one time. And if they excite me, I have absolute hyper-focus and I will take an idea all the way to the end. Now, when I'm in a really positive mindset, that's awesome. But when I'm in a negative mindset, I will latch on to 3 or 4 different negative things and I will take them on that same journey. So it actually was also the start of my process of being officially diagnosed with ADHD, and that is an ongoing thing at the moment. You know, I don't want to sort of self-diagnose myself yet, but come next Friday, it'll be something that I'll know or not know. But I do think that ADHD and anxiety for me kind of feed into each other. Whether or not one is feeding one or one is feeding the other, I don't know how they're kind of stacked on top of each other, but I definitely feel for me they're related. And when I'm good, I'm really good. And when I'm not good, I'm not great. So yeah, it just me attaching onto a thought of, oh shit, I got no money, or shit, my job's not going well, I will take that thought process and I will run away with that all the way to the end. And even if I'm creating its own narrative, something that's maybe not true, I will take myself down there and I'll convince myself on that.
I'm sitting here just inspired at the moment. Like, to be so open, I think it's so amazing that you can just be open about these conversations, which people need to be. Whether activities or sort of routines, like obviously you've got your support system with your wife, and that conversation would have been like, that's why you got married. That's the support, that those honest conversations that you need. I'm assuming that you've got an amazing support and system around you. You've got away from work, you've got your friends, your family. How did you sort of start to cut through all this and go, hey, like, I need to cope with this. What can I do to cope? Like, for some people, it might be exercise. Some people, it might be just, hey, I need a few days off work. Like, being a business owner, just dropping work, it's not the easiest thing to do at times. Like, what did you do to cope?
So I'm going to answer this probably in a roundabout way, and I can only speak from my own personal experience with it, and I can only talk to what helps me. Talking to people is massive for me. Like, talking the problem out is massive, and my poor wife gets a lot of it, and we've talked about this a lot, that sometimes when I'm in these spaces or I'm in my head and it's consuming me, she'll actually take on a part of that anxiety and a part of that depression and a part of that uncertainty. And that's not fair on her, because she might be in a great place, but she's kind of feeding off my energy. So I've realized that even though she's always there to support me 100%, I know that I can't lump everything on her. So, mate, I've got you, I've got Mark, I've got so many other people that I talk to on a daily basis, and I'm really, really candid about how I'm feeling. And I feel one of my personality traits, and, you know, if you do want to kind of latch on to that sort of ADHD personality, I have a huge amount of empathy for a lot of people, and I actually want to help people. So I will wear my heart on my sleeve, and when someone's hurting, I want them to stop hurting, and I will offer myself up to talk that through with them. And during my really challenging time, that was actually thrown right back at me. And, you know, I'm going to be incredibly grateful to Mark, who, yeah, he was a big part of helping me get through the tougher periods that I've gone through this year. So thanks, Mark. Another big thing for me is exercise. Wherever I've done a workout, I find that the chemical balance within my body is leveled out, and I don't feel like I need to go and do so much. If I've kind of scratched that itch, I just kind of feel that it calms me down. I've got a bunch of mates coming over today at about 1 o'clock, and we're going to do a workout. So I find that that is a huge part of my management. And it's, for me, it's not just one thing. A good friend of mine who's a psychologist talks about finding out what your recipe is, because everybody's recipe is different. For Maddie, it might be sitting down and crocheting a beanie, and it might be sitting down and having a glass of wine in front of a fire and petting your cat. For me, it's actually exercising and giving myself space and time so I can, I like to problem solve. And I find that when I've got something that I'm trying to work through in my brain, heading out on my bike for a couple of hours is a way that I can do something and get these feelings, these anxious feelings out. So then it allows me to then find the space to work on that problem. But if I'm not doing that and I'm just trying to work on the problem, the anxious feelings kind of take over and I can't concentrate on. So actually doing something simultaneously to solving the problem, I find really helps me and my personality.
So obviously you're very open about this, not only through social media, friends, family, but as a first time, there was that first time that you once had to open up. Do you remember that time? And do you sort of look back on that from where you've come? And do you got to be super proud of that moment you first said to someone, hey, I need help?
You know, now that I know what anxiety looks like, I think the first time that I realized it, or my earliest memory, is probably when I went from year six into year seven in high school. They're pretty tough years for everybody. You know, high school is a big thing, and then you're in a school with a whole bunch of other people who just look absolutely enormous when you're in year seven. And, you know, I was a chubby kid. I did get bullied a bit when I was at school, in primary school. And there was a point in year seven, I remember I actually went to a psychologist because I was struggling, but it was only for a couple of sessions. And at the time, there wasn't a label attached to it. And it certainly wasn't a cognitive thing that I did. I think it was more my parents that sort of said that we should go. But fast forward to 2013, I can remember it distinctly. It was like the day after my wedding. And I don't want to talk too candidly about it, but there was an event to do with the dissolving of my business with another, my business partner that happened, which then just consumed my mind for 5 days after the day that I got married. My wife still talks to me about those 4 or 5 days where I just wasn't present. My mind was just consumed with trying to solve this problem that I didn't have the space for her and that particular moment in time when it should have just been all about us. And yeah, I think off the back of that was when I kind of realized that I needed some help to try and work through what I was going through at the time. And yeah, that was the start of my journey with understanding anxiety and the tools that I've been using for the last 10 or 15 years. I haven't been medicated. Like, I'm nothing against people that take medication. I definitely feel like that has a place and everyone's journey is different. But for me, I did a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy and I still do that today. Yeah, that was the moment. It was after we got married.
And I think that's probably for people who might have these issues or not, or don't know they have them. That first time, would you say it's fair to say the toughest time to say like, hey, I need help?
It was so hard. And if I think about like how mental health is perceived these days and how I thought about it back then, I mean, I was early 30s in the construction industry 10 years ago. We're still in that whole mentality of, you know, suck it up, princess, you know, have a shot of concrete and toughen up, you know, you're a fucking man. I'm still associating with older builders back then. That was their mentality towards it. And I kept it close to my chest. Like, I didn't, for the first couple of years, I didn't tell anyone I was seeing a psychologist.
Do you think that's changed, or is that just you're around people who are more like-minded? Because I have a think, I still think there's a lot of it. It's just the people we're surrounded with and the traits that we use on our sites and the people that we sort of work with, like, we know they're not that type. So are we in this little maybe bubble?
You know what? I want to think that the industry is changing, but I also want to think that, you know, the industry is changing towards more sustainable and energy efficient homes. But maybe that's just the bubble that I operate within. I think mental health just generally is becoming something that is accepted more broadly and that it's not actually seen as something to be ashamed of. Like, I hate the name of attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Like, it's not a fucking disorder. I tell you right now, I would not be where I am if I did not have these traits. It's a fucking superpower. But when it's not managed right, it can also be my kryptonite. And I've said this quite openly to a number of people before. When I am on fire, I am on fucking fire. But when I'm not, I am not.
It's the roller coaster sort of emotions. Yeah, you have your moments and then it unfortunately comes back and bites you in the ass at times. How do you sort of strike that balance then, like, of sort of seeking professional help and then sort of implementing those self-care strategies? Like, you've obviously been taught over a period of time of you've identified your times where you might be sweaty hands, this is coming, and or like you sort of get nauseous. Like, how do you know that when to go get help and maybe speak to someone, or that you can manage it yourself? Like, when do you, and how do you do that?
It's funny. I was actually talking to someone yesterday about their own experience with mental health and seeing a psychologist. And it's interesting. This person said to me, oh, I've got my last psychologist appointment today. And I said, what do you mean you've got your last psychologist appointment? He goes, oh, you know, like, I'm feeling better. And it's my 10th one, you know, my mental health plans run out. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So you don't get your car serviced yearly. You know, you think you're just fixed now? Because I'll tell you what, you're never fucking fixed. Never. I know for me, my anxiety is something that I can manage, but it is always there. For me, I pre-schedule all of my appointments with my psychologist, and I would usually schedule 6 to 8 months just so I know it's there and it's in my diary. So I see mine every 3 weeks. And for me, it's the best $300 that I spend. Some of that's comes back through Medicare, but even if it didn't, like, that is the best fucking $300 I spend every 3 weeks for sure.
Yeah. And I think the hard part is that, unfortunately, governments aren't giving enough. Like, we're probably in situations where you can afford it, but there are people that can't. I know the government just halved the amount of rebate that they're giving. I think it went up to 20 sessions per COVID, which is mind baffling. But I just want to touch on a point that you sort of just said there, where going back a bit, that you said that you had to book into your psychologist because you've been going through this and you hadn't seen her. Was that because you sort of stopped because you thought you're at this really good point and then you needed to go see her? Like, it's that whole, it goes back to that whole maintenance thing that you forgot to maintain.
Yeah, so you're 100% right. Like, and look, I'm never going to know if I was seeing Lisa, whether or not I would have got to where I got. I'm never going to know that. But if I look historically at times where I've kind of had dips and then I've kind of gone up again, they've actually been when I haven't seen my psychologist for a few months. And in fact, some of the best sessions that I've had with my psychologist is when I've been feeling great, because that is the time where you get to work on yourself without any distractions, without any bullshit, without any problems that you've got to solve, because it's actually laying the foundations for those next times when it's going to be shit and it's going to be tough. Because in my experience, life is going to throw shit at you and it's not going to be fucking peaches and cream all the time.
Like, click of a finger, shit can hit the fan. Like,
it can, especially, and do you know what? In the industry that we're in, it can happen in a fucking moment.
Yeah. It's so volatile. I think that what we do, and maybe I'm a little bit biased, is at the moment one of the hardest jobs. Like, there is so much media beat down. We have to act like banks. We have to cash all projects. We have to deal with people, employees. We have to deal with, like, your phone never goes off because it's like, hey, I nailed this hammer, like this nail in really, really well today. Like, everything you get is generally not a great conversation. And that does wear on you at some point. It does wear you down. Which goes into like that stigma in our industry about men. And it is getting better. And there are places you can go to be open about this now and sort of speak with people. How do we get better in this industry with mental health? Like, I know you're not an expert, but I probably would say you are an expert because you have to live with this daily.
I'm an expert in my own field, I guess, of my own anxiety. And I can, as I said, I can only talk about mine. What can we do? Do you know the best thing you can do is fucking talk to your friends and go, how are you? How are you going? Right? We know when our friends aren't great. We know when there's something, maybe something's a little bit off. We are never going to know what a text message or what a quick phone call or what a quick email or Instagram message is going to do to somebody. Someone might be metaphorically standing on the edge of a fucking cliff and you might reach out and say, hey, how are you going? How are you doing? Is everything good? Do you want to have a chat? You're never going to know. And you might do that. You might actually bring them back from that cliff and they may never tell you that that's what's happened. I kind of feel like this whole are you okay thing may be a little bit watered down now, but I think the messaging is incredible. Like, I think checking in on your friends is something that we should all do.
We shouldn't wait for it yearly.
Yeah. Look, I love the whole premise of are you okay day. Please don't think that I think it's not a great thing, because it kind of is that reminder. It's that maintenance, that top up sort of idea. Also, check in on yourself. We don't check in and really ask ourselves how we are enough. And it's really been something that I've been checking in a lot now. I've started journaling. Well, it's dropped off a little bit. Just thinking last night that I really want to pick that up again. It's eating healthy. Like, I don't drink much anymore. I know that that's plays on my anxiety and mental health, you know, and something that I'm incredibly grateful that I didn't turn to that, because I could quite easily could have gone the complete opposite. Yeah, just talk, just be open about how you're feeling, because honestly, the more of us, particularly men in construction, the more of us that can actually talk about how we're feeling, it's going to start other conversations with people that are in your network.
Yeah, I don't think people sort of, I think they underestimate the support network they have around themselves. And when you can get down, you kind of, oh, I don't want to be the burden on my wife or my friends. Like, they've got other things to deal with. But you know what? Like, some people unfortunately don't have those support networks, and there are avenues to help with that. But sort of saying, hey, I need help, like, it's so okay.
I'll tell you a story where I reached out. I sent a text message to my team about 2 months ago. And I was really honest with them all. I told them that I was struggling and I kind of laid out all the things that I wanted to get done from a work point of view before the end of the year. And I basically turned around to them and said, I can't do this by myself. I don't have the bandwidth. I don't have the capacity and I don't have the mental stability to be able to do this alone. So I called on every single one of them and every single person within my business turned around and fucking stepped up. Like, there is absolutely no shame in asking for help. It was just such a pivotal moment in starting to feel better, was actually saying, guys, I'm struggling. I need a hand here.
Yeah, the fact that you can go to your team is just incredible. I usually got a lot to say. At the moment, I've got really very little because it's just, yeah, that's so, so powerful. Let's wrap it up there. I'm so proud of you. We've only really known each other for probably, 2-3 years, but the fact that we can have these conversations is, one, I'm inspired. Two, I'm just privileged to have people like you around me. I think that we can open up and we're here to create change, and we're sort of not waiting for others to create change. And I know that's sort of a cliche term, but it's conversations like this that's just so, so important. I personally see what happens when people don't have these conversations and shit can't hit the fan and it hurts and it ruins you for like, it does get better. So mate, if you ever need anything that I'm a call away, I know that you've got an awesome support network, and you should be so proud of the conversations you can have with people because it is truly inspiring.
Thanks, buddy. To yourself and all the people that I consider part of my network and people that I lean in on when I am struggling, it gets flipped around, and know that I'm always there to support. I'm going to finish on this with one last thing. When someone comes to you, they're not coming to you for you to solve their problem, because you can't solve their problem. Just the simple act of listening to their problem probably does more for them than you can possibly imagine. So don't sit there trying to solve it for them. They're coming to you just to talk.
I honestly couldn't agree more. What we'll also do, I think in our show notes, we'll put in a few of the different links if people are looking to reach out and they do have issues and they're afraid to sort of speak out or they need some help. There's definitely some great sort of organizations in our industry, and not just our industry, could be in any industry. So that there are people that are here to help, and there are organizations that do specialize in this. So
there is one that I will give a shout out to, and that's TX. So TX is the offshoot of Trademark. Trademark do those really loud, colorful t-shirts that you might see kicking around. TX is actually a free service, counseling service for blue collar workers. So they understand the construction industry, trades. It is a free service, right? Like, you always talk to the same person. They kind of become your go-to person to chat with. Make that phone call before it gets too much, because we don't want to see any more statistics in the construction industry. That's for sure.
We want to see them on the positive direction, if anything. Have a great day, bud. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks, mate.
I'm sure we'll touch on this more. We'll dive deeper at some point, but I can't wait to hear your positive stories as well.
Yeah, there's plenty of positive stories, mate. Thanks, Matty.
Enjoy, mate. See ya.